بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In this lesson we come to the chapter of الرفق واللين. And that is page 38 in the English translations which you have. Arifq wal lin, gentleness and leniency. And of course, before this, we studied al-dhan wa tajassus, making assumptions and spying, and some of the other chapters before that. And the author, he mentions this chapter, Arifq wal lin, and this was the objective behind the book, or this is the title of the book, the Rifqan Ahl Sunnati bi Ahl Sunnah, gentleness or Ahl Sunnah with Ahl Sunnah. And these two characteristics, a rifq wal lin, gentleness and leniency, they are characteristics of this great religion, the religion of Al Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ordered us as Muslims, He ordered us as du'at or as teachers to use gentleness and leniency, especially with those people who we are giving da'wah to, and especially with those people who have erred in their way or they are making mistakes. And this gentleness and leniency is used hoping that those people who are on a wrong way, or they have certain deviations with them, or they have certain weaknesses with them, they will come back to the truth. And whoever contemplates the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially the period of Makkah, the seerah of the Prophet when he was living in Makkah, and also when he was living in Al-Madinah, he will see and realize how gentleness and leniency is a big part of our da'wah and a big part of our religion. Before we enter into this chapter, and it's a short chapter, we have to make a point that although the majority of our da'wah is arifq wal lin, is gentleness and leniency, this doesn't mean that a shidda, harshness, doesn't have any place in the sharia. Rather, both of these affairs have been legislated. So in certain times and certain situations, we use gentleness and leniency. However, at the same time, using shiddah, using harshness in certain situations, it has also been legislated. And that which is not allowed is a dhulm. So in certain situations, a rifq wal lin, gentleness and leniency is used. In other situations, a shiddah wal ghalza, being harsh and severe, is also legislated. But that which is not allowed in any situation is al-dhulm. Al-dhulm, we translate it as being oppression. However, when the ulama, when they define the meaning of dhulm, they say that dhulm is wad'u shay'i fi ghayri mahallihi. It is to place something in the place which is not correct. To place something in an incorrect place. So therefore, a person who uses gentleness and leniency in a situation in which harshness should be used, then this is now dhulm. And a person who uses harshness in a place and a situation in which gentleness and leniency should be used, then this is also a dhulm. So the meaning of a dhulm is placing something in its incorrect place, not placing it in its proper place. And therefore justice or wisdom is وَضْعُ شَيْءٍ فِي مَحَلِّهِ. Justice and wisdom is placing the correct thing in its correct place. And for this reason, in the West we always hear the slogans of equality, but in Islam there isn't equality, rather there is justice. And what this means is every single person is given his due right and is placed in the right place. And just as not everybody is equal, so the criminal and the pious isn't equal. And in certain affairs, men and women are not equal. And in certain situations, adults and young are not equal. The one who is knowledge and the one who is ignorant are not equal. So in Islam, we don't necessarily have equality, but what we have is justice. Al-adl wal-hikmah, justice and wisdom. And justice and wisdom is placing everything in its right place. And the opposite of dhulm, it is placing something in its improper place. And there are many statements of the Salaf, there are many statements of the Imams who came before us, in which they speak about using harshness against the people of innovation, or especially using harshness against the heads of the innovators. Not every person who falls into an innovation do we say he is now an innovator. It's possible that you may have a Sunni Salafi and yet he falls into some mistakes or falls into some innovations. And there's nobody who is free from absolute error. Imams who came before, great Imams of the religion, the likes of Imam al-Nawawi and al-Hafidh ibn Hajr, and those who came before them and those who came after them, some of them fell into some errors and some innovations. And the only one who is protected from mistakes in the Sharia is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimullah, he mentioned a very beautiful statement. He said, لَيْسَ كُلُّ مَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الْبِدْعَةِ وَقَعَتِ الْبِدْعَةُ عَلَيْهِ. That not everybody who falls into a bid'ah, does the ruling of bid'ah fall upon him. Not everybody who falls into a bid'ah, does he become a mubtadi', does he become an innovator. And as I mentioned, there are many statements of the Salaf in which both gentleness as well as harshness is mentioned. In the Quran, we find the legislation of jihad. What is jihad except it is harshness and severity? And also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he boycotted some of his companions for over 50 nights. Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam boycotted him for over 50 nights. And this is a level of harshness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would not pray the janazah over some of the people, like those who had died with debt with them, or those who had died and they had taken something from the war booty. The Prophet didn't pray the janazah upon them, and yet he encouraged the rest of the Sahaba to pray janazah over them. So here we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used a level of harshness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he refused to give salam to one of the companions who was wearing a gold ring until he threw the gold ring off, and then the Prophet gave him salam. So again, here we see harshness is used by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And later on we'll come to the narration in which Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, the Prophet was harsh against him and he said to him, "Afattanun anta ya Mu'adh? Are you a fitna maker, O Mu'adh?" And he said to Usamah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma, "Hal shaqaqta sadrahu? Did you open the chest of the man that you should kill him after he has said La ilaha illallah?" So we find that in certain situations, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used harshness, even against the most closest of people to him, either Sahaba alayhim ridwanullah. And in other situations, he would use gentleness and leniency, even against some of the munafiqeen and the Yahud and the Nasara. So the point is that the author, Hafidhullah, he mentioned this chapter, Ar-Rifq wal-Leen, gentleness and leniency. This doesn't negate the legislation of sometimes using harshness and using a severity. And sometimes a scholar from Ahlul Sunnah, he may harshly refute or speak against another or correct a mistake of another scholar from Ahlul Sunnah, and he uses some harsh terms. This doesn't negate the respect and the love and the status of both of them. And from the beginning of time, the ulama between them, they've always, if they see a mistake, they've written, they've spoken, and they correct each other's mistakes. Sometimes gentleness is used, sometimes harshness is used. But the main thing is that this harshness which is used, there shouldn't be any oppression in it. And neither should people go over the limits when it comes to using harshness. Also, when harshness is used, then a person should always bear in mind the possible benefits and the possible harms of these actions. And finally, the majority of our da'wah, the large majority of our da'wah to the people, to the kuffar, to the people of innovation, and especially amongst ourselves, the large majority of this is al-rifq wal-leen, is gentleness and leniency. However, sometimes there may be an exceptional situation or an exceptional circumstance in which harshness is used. And also it's important that we don't confuse between being gentle and lenient and between being a coward or afraid to speak the truth. And this is important, that unfortunately people today, some of the dua today, they have gone to two extremes. There's either the extreme of being overly harsh to the extent that your own brothers from Ahlus Sunnah, you perhaps treat them more harshly than the kuffar, the enemies of Allah and al-Islam. And this is one extreme. And then you have the other extreme in which people use al-rifq wal-leen, people use gentleness and leniency as an excuse to not speak the truth or not refute the innovations, or to not refute the people of innovation. And then this leads them to watering down their religion and lecturing with people that they shouldn't be lecturing with, and saying things that they shouldn't be saying with. And if a person refutes an innovation or a person of innovation, they will say gentleness and leniency. And as I said, in the Sharia, both of these things are legislated. Gentleness and leniency is legislated, and this is the majority of our da'wah. But at the same time, sometimes in certain specific situations, harshness has also been legislated. And the point of the author with this chapter and this book is rifqan ahlu sunnah bi ahlu sunnah, that the people of sunnah should be gentle with each other. And this is when the author, he saw and he noticed how harshness and boycotting and hatred and jealousy and spreading rumors, making statements upon assumptions and spying, how this became prevalent amongst some of the Shabab of Ahlus Sunnah, and therefore he advised them with this blessed treatise. And in this chapter, the first ayah the author mentions, he says, وَصَفَ اللَّهُ نَبِيَّهُ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِأَنَّهُ عَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That Allah, he described his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam by saying that he is upon khuluqin azim. And the meaning of khuluq azim is great noble manners and etiquettes. And where did Allah say this? He said this in the ayah, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. That verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are upon lofty and noble manners. Some of the ulama, the mufassirun, they explain the meaning of khuluq as being the religion, i.e. wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, meaning wa innaka la'ala deenin azim, that you, O Muhammad, you are upon lofty khuluq, meaning you are upon a lofty religion. And Qatada, and he was from the first generation of the mufassirun from the tabi'een, he mentions, he says, سَأَلْتُ عَائِشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. I asked Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, عَنْ خُلُقِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, regarding the manners of the Prophet. He asked Aisha رضي الله عنها regarding this ayah, and she said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, that the manners and the etiquettes of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, it was the Qur'an. كَانَ يَقُولُ كَمَا يَقُولُ الْقُرْآنِ, he would say whatever the Qur'an says. And this shows that the meaning of good manners isn't flattery in the face of evil or being gentle when harshness should be used, but it is a person living his life according to the Quran and a person having justice and wisdom. So when leniency and gentleness should be used, and this is the majority of the cases, it is used. And when harshness is required, then it is used. Then he mentioned that Allah also described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with ar-rifq wal-leen. He also described him with gentleness and leniency. In the saying of Allah, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, that due to the mercy of Allah, the rahmah of Allah, you are lenient with them. You were lenient with the ummah, you were lenient with the companions before they had accepted Islam, and for this reason they accepted al-Islam. And notice how Allah linked al-leen, gentleness. The word linta lahum is from lean, is from gentleness. How Allah linked gentleness to His mercy. Meaning this gentleness which the Prophet ﷺ was guided towards in his da'wah was a mercy of Allah. And therefore, gentleness and lenience, being lenient, it's a divine characteristic of people. A person who is gentle and lenient in his da'wah within the confines of the sharia, then this is something which is divine and it is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah said to the Prophet, reminding him, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ, that if you were coarse or harsh, i.e. in your speech, غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ, and if you were hard in your heart, لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, then they would have fled away from you. So da'wah, which is based upon gentleness and leniency, nasiha, advice which is based upon gentleness and leniency, it brings people to answer this call. And if we use coarse words, harsh words, and insults and nicknames, or even sarcasm, then, like Allah said, لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, then people flee away from you. And also the author mentions, وَوَصَفَهُ بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالرَّأْفَةِ, and Allah also described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with mercy and الرَّأْفَةِ. And the meaning of الرَّأْفَةِ is having compassion or consideration for others. And this is in the saying of Allah, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, verily a messenger has come to you from amongst yourselves. Meaning he's from the humans, and he's from the Arabs, and he speaks your language. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, that which you suffer, it affects him. Something that you as Muslims suffer from, it is something which is of concern to him. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, and he's focused upon you, he's focused upon your benefit. What distresses you is hurtful for him, and he's eager for you. And then Allah said, بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, that he is towards the believers, Ra'uf and Rahim. He's eager upon the believers, i.e. upon the guidance of the believers, and in benefiting them in this dunya, and also benefiting them in this akhirah. For this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, مَا بَقِيَ شَيْءٌ يُقَرِّبُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, that there is nothing which brings a person closer to Jannah, وَيُبْعِدُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ, and there is nothing which distance a person away from the fire, إِلَّا بَيَّنْتُهُ لَكُمْ, except I have already explained it to you. So this was the eagerness of the Prophet ﷺ. Everything which we require to succeed in this dunya and in the akhirah, anything which brings us close to Jannah and keeps us away from the fire, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came and he explained this to us. So in these ayat, Allah described the Prophet with being upon khuluqin adheem, great noble manners, and ar-rifqu wal-leen, gentleness and leniency, and ar-rahmatu wal-ra'fa, and also showing compassion and showing mercy. And this is how we as believers should be between each other especially, and also towards the rest of creation. وَأَمَرَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِالرِّفْقِ وَرَغَّبَ فِيهِ, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ordered with gentleness, and he encouraged us to be gentle. فَقَال, he said, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا وَبَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا. These four words, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he ordered us with them. Two things that we should do and two things that we should stay away from. Yassiru, make things easy. Wala tu'assiru, and don't make things difficult. Bashiru, give glad tidings. Spread happiness. Be optimistic. Wala tunaffiru, and do not cause people to flee away from you. Yassiru, make things easy. It means that when you're going to do something, do that which is easy. When you're going to order with something, order with that which is easy, as long as it doesn't go against the Sharia. So if there is no sin involved in it, then do the easy thing and order with the easy thing. For this reason, Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, and in this is a lesson even in how we live our life. She said, مَا خُيَّرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَيْنَ أَمْرَيْنِ. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was never given a choice between two things, إِلَّا اخْتَارَ أَيْسَرَهُمَا, except that he would always go with the easiest option. Whenever the Prophet was given two options, two choices, he would always go with the easiest option. Then she said, مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ إِثْمًا, as long as it wasn't sinning, as long as it didn't involve any sin. فَإِنْ كَانَ إِثْمًا, and if it involved any sin, كَانَ أَبْعَدَ النَّاسِ مِنْ, then he was the farthest of people away from this sinning. So if we have two options in life, and they don't go against the Sharia, you aren't leaving a wajib, or you aren't committing something which is haram, and it's something which is not linked to extra reward, then do that which is easy. That which is easy for you and the rest of the people. He said, وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا, and do not make things difficult upon the people. وَبَشِّرُوا, and spread glad tidings, spread happiness, and be optimistic. And this means, بَشِّرُوا means that be optimistic in yourself. And also show optimism to other people. When you do a righteous action, you supplicate that Allah gives you a taqwa, and then you're optimistic that Allah will accept this from you, and you don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. For this reason, some of the salaf, they would say, "Man wuffiqa lid-du'a falyastabshir bil-ijaba," that whoever has been guided to make du'a, then be optimistic and happy that the answer is coming. If Allah has guided you to make dua, then isn't He the same one who will now answer your dua? Who is the one that caused you to make dua? It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if He has guided you to making dua, then also be optimistic and have the glad tidings in your heart that Allah will answer my dua. Otherwise, how many people are there out there who haven't been given tawfiq to make the dua, and therefore there is no answer for them? So bashiru, spread glad tidings, be optimistic in yourself, and spread happiness. And then he said, wala tu'assiru, and don't make things difficult. Wala tunaffiru, and don't cause people to flee away from you. I.e., encourage people upon righteous actions, and don't discourage them from righteous actions by making things difficult for them. And this is done in a number of ways. So for example, when it comes to knowledge, then when we're teaching knowledge, we should make this knowledge easy for the people. Use a language that people will understand. Give examples which are relevant to the lives of the people. Don't magnify the knowledge and make it complicated, whereas Allah has made it easy for the people. And this we find in the Quran, that if you look at the examples and the parables which Allah sets forth in the Quran, He gives examples in the Quran which are relevant to the people who are listening to the Quran. Today, for example, in the Jum'ah prayer, the Imam, he always recites the saying of Allah, أَفَلَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do they not look at the camel and how it was created? Why did Allah use the example of the camel? Because the Arabs and the Bedouins, they knew of this thing. It was relevant to their lives. And also Allah gives in the Quran examples to make things easy. Sometimes He gives the example of a spider. Sometimes He gives the example of a storm or an earth upon which there is fruit. And Allah gives these examples as a way of education. So also from not causing tanfir, causing people to flee away, is making knowledge easy for the people. Also when it comes to acts of worship, that if the imam is leading the people in the prayer, he doesn't make it difficult for those people. Rather, he should be sensitive to those who are around him. Or behind him, those people who are old and they can't stand for too long. Do people have work tomorrow and school tomorrow? Is there women with children, for example, who are crying? And for this reason, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he would pray Isha with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the masjid, in the masjid, and then he would go to one of the other masajid like Masjid Quba, and then he would lead the people in the Isha prayer over there. And one day Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he recited a surah which was lengthy, up until one of the men who was praying behind him, he left the prayer and he went towards the back and he started reciting and reading his own prayer. And then when the people saw this man leaving the prayer and going out towards the back, they said, "Nafaqa hadha," that this one, he's a hypocrite. How dare he leaves the jama'ah of the Muslims led by Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Then this man went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding the length of the recitation of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And then the Prophet came to Mu'adh, and then he was severe against him. He said, "Afattanun anta ya Mu'adh? Are you somebody who's going to cause fitna for the people, O Mu'adh? You're causing difficulty for these people so much so that they're leaving the prayer." And then the Prophet ordered him to recite relatively shorter chapters of the Quran when he's leading other people. So all of this enters into this saying, "Wala tunaffiru," do not cause people to flee away from you. And the hadith is in Al-Bukhari. Also, the author mentions the statement of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and the wording is the same: "Bashiru wala tunaffiru wa yassiru wala tu'assiru." And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the narration, he said, "Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala li ashabi fi qissat al-a'rabi alladhi bala fil masjid." That one day a man came, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, he urinated in the masjid. Bala fi ta'ifatil masjid. He urinated in a corner of the masjid. And this person, he was A'rabi. He was an old Bedouin man, somebody who wasn't living amongst the people, from the desert. Maybe his manners were maybe slightly harsh and coarse. He wasn't as refined as the people of the city, and he didn't mix in a lot with the Prophet and the companions. So he came one day and he urinated in the corner of the masjid. And in the other narration, فَزَجَرَهُ النَّاسِ. So the people, the companions, they got up and they were rebuking him severely, that how dare he comes and urinates in the masjid. فَنَهَاهُمُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the Prophet who forbade the companions, that don't rebuke him so harshly and severely. And then the Prophet ordered with a bucket of water to be bought, and he poured that bucket over the place in which the person had urinated. And all of this is from Al-Rifq Wal-Leen. And then he said to the companions after this episode, he said, فَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُيَسِّرِينَ. That you have been sent in order to make things easy for the people. وَلَمْ تُبْعَثُوا مُعَسِّرِينَ. And you were not sent in order to make things difficult for the people. And so like this, if for example we have in the masjid and some of the brothers bring their children with them, and maybe some of them make some noise or there's some disturbance, then although the brother should be advised privately, but not in front of the child. And the child isn't to be told off, such that his emotions aren't hurt, or he doesn't then maintain a link with the masjid. And then the author, he mentions a number of ahadith upon the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, and all of them they include ar-rifq, and the meaning of ar-rifq is gentleness. And the story behind some of these narrations is, as you know, that the Jews, the Yahud of al-Madinah, they would mock the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they would be sly in how they mock him. So sometimes they would say to him, "Assalamu alayka," poison or death be upon you, instead of saying "Assalamu alayka." and the companions, and amongst them Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha, her jealousy and her pride over the Prophet, it would take her to give a harsh response. And in one of the narrations, she responded, "Wa alaykum la'natullahi wa ghadabu," and upon you, O Yahud, is the curse of Allah and the anger of Allah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ya Aisha, O Aisha, inna Allah rafiqun yuhibbu rifq." O Aisha, Allah is gentle and kind, and He loves gentleness and kindness, fil amri kullihi, in all of the affairs. And in another narration of the same story, "Ya Aisha, O Aisha, inna Allah rafiqun yuhibbu rifq." Allah is gentle, Allah is kind, He loves gentleness, He loves kindness. "Wa yu'ti 'ala rifq ma la yu'ti 'ala al-'unf," and He gives out of gentleness that which He does not give out of harshness. And the same with da'wah. That da'wah which is based upon beautiful words and gentle teaching and gentleness in manners, hoping goodness in the heart, making du'a for the person, this type of da'wah is successful. And the da'wah which causes people to flee away and is based upon insulting and oppression and slandering, then there's little barakah in this da'wah. In another narration, the Prophet said to Aisha radiallahu anha, "Inna rifqa la yakunu fi shay'in illa zana," that gentleness is never found in anything except that it makes it beautiful. "Wala yunza an shay'in illa shana," and it is never taken away from something except that it makes it something which is ugly. And this is the same in everything, in knowledge, in manners, in characteristics. If you see a Muslim who is gentle and kind in his word and his interaction, then that person is beautiful. And you see a person who is harsh and coarse, then the opposite is said regarding him. And then the author mentions the narration of Jarir ibn Abdullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man yuhram al-rifq yuhram al-khair," whoever gentleness is forbidden from, then all goodness has been forbidden from that person. Whoever doesn't adorn himself with gentleness and leniency in its correct place, then goodness has been forbidden from that person. And as I mentioned, these ahadith and the other ayat, they show us that ar-rifq, gentleness, is a divine characteristic. Meaning it is something that is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as Allah is rafiq, gentle, then we have to be gentle. Just as Allah is Rahim, He's merciful, then we have to be merciful. Just as Allah is pardoning and forgiving, then we have to be pardoning and forgiving. And all of this enters into Tawheedul Asma'i wa Sifat, the Tawheed of the names of Allah and the attributes of Allah. What is the benefit of us studying Tawheed and knowing the names and the attributes of Allah if we aren't then going to implement these names and attributes in ourselves? And the same principle can apply to every single name and attribute. The Prophet said, "Inna Allah rafiq yuhibbu rifq." Allah is gentle, He loves gentleness. And like this, every other attribute of Allah, Jalla fil ula. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mercy even towards the disbelievers. Those people who are His enemies, those people who disbelieve in Him, they commit the greatest form of dhulm, which is a shirk. Yet Allah still shows mercy to them. So you see, for example, Allah gives them time. And He gives them time until death, in which they can always repent. To the extent that if a person spent all of his life worshipping other than Allah, and then right before his life he said the shahada, Allah would forgive all of their sins. And this is from the gentleness and the kindness and the mercy of Allah. And you see how people who are kuffar, and yet Allah still bestows upon them the blessing of rizq. He still provides for them. And food is still given to them. And they're still allowed to live. And Allah gives them blessing upon blessing, even though they are kuffar. All of this is the ni'mah of Allah. It is the blessing of Allah. But the blessing of Allah for the kuffar is restricted to this dunya. And as for the blessing and the mercy of Allah for the mu'minun, for the believers, then it is the dunya and it is in the akhirah. And after this, the author, Hafidhullah, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, he finished by mentioning two ayat. And the first ayah, He says, قَدْ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيَّيْنِ الْكَرِيمَيْنِ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ عَلَيْهِمَ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That Allah ordered his two noble prophets, Musa and Harun, أَنْ يَدْعُوَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالرِّفْقِ وَاللِّينِ. That they should go to Fir'aun. And Fir'aun, أَكْفَرَ النَّاسِ. He was the most disbelieving of people, the most stubborn of people. So much so that he didn't only disbelieve in Allah, but then more than this, he claimed that he was the Lord. He said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your Lord, the Most High. So his sin was even worse than merely disbelieving. He disbelieved and then he placed himself equal with Allah or above Allah. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite this and the severe nature of this zalim, taghi, tyrant, oppressive person, Allah said to Musa and Harun, he said, اِذْهَبَا إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ. Both of you, go to Fir'aun. إِنَّهُ طَغَى. Because he has become a tyrant. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. And say to him a gentle, soft word. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Perhaps due to this gentle, kind word, he will remember or he will fear, I fear Allah. So look how Fir'aun, and Fir'aun is who he is, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered both Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam to go to him and say to him a gentle word. So if this is the case with Fir'aun, then how about us amongst each other and our own brothers from amongst Ahlul Sunnah, from the Salafis who have some errors? Surely they are more deserving of this qawlul layyin, of this soft and gentle word. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimullah, the ayahs in Surah Taha, in his tafsir of this ayah, he mentions some beautiful words. And whoever amongst you has been blessed with reading Arabic, go back to the tafsir and check what he said. Some of what Ibn Kathir said regarding this ayah, he says, in this ayah in which Allah orders Musa and Harun to go to Fir'aun and be gentle with him. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimullah, he said, هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فِيهَا عِبْرَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. That this ayah, it has in it a great lesson, a great admonishment. وَهُوَ, and it is, أَنَّ فِرْعَوْنِ فِي غَايَةِ الْعُتُوِّ وَالْإِسْتِكْبَارِ. That Fir'aun, he has reached the pinnacle of arrogance and haughtiness and being bashful. He is fi ghayat al-utu wal-istikbar, the absolute highest level of being arrogant and boastful, to the extent that he now calls himself the highest Lord. And as for Musa, sifwatullahi min khalqihi, and Musa is the chosen one from amongst all of creation. Musa at that time, there's nobody upon the earth that was greater and more virtuous than Musa alayhi salam at that time. He was the chosen one, the preferred one, Kalimullah, the one whom Allah spoke to. وَمَعَ هَذَا الْأَمْ. And yet despite this, despite the two status of these people, Allah ordered Musa, he said, لَا يُخَاطِبْ فِرْعَوْنَ إِلَّا بِالْمُلَاطَفَ وَالْلِّينَ. That he should not even speak to Fir'aun except with gentleness and kindness and leniency. And then Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he mentioned a number of statements of the Salaf. I'll mention two or three. He said that Wahb ibn Munabbih, he said the meaning of قُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, the meaning of say a gentle word to him, is that O Musa and Harun, say to him, إِنِّي إِلَى الْعَفْوِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ أَقْرَبُ مِنِّي إِلَى الْغَضَبِ وَالْعُقُوبَةِ. That me, Musa and Harun, forgiveness and being pardoning and overlooking, this is closer to us than anger and punishment. And Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimullah, the famous tabi'i, he said that the meaning of قُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا is أَعْذِرَا إِلَيْهِ. That present some excuses to him, present an argument to him. قُولَ لَهُ, say to him gently, إِنَّ لَكَ رَبَّا, that O Fir'aun, you have a Lord. وَلَكَ مَعَاد. And O Fir'aun, there is a hereafter. وَبَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ جَنَّ وَالنَّار. And O Fir'aun, in front of you is Jannah and An-Nar. Meaning go and reason with Fir'aun. Go and try to plead with Fir'aun and convince him to accept the truth. And Ikrima, he said that the meaning of قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا is go to him and say to him, La ilaha illallah. This is the meaning of قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimullah, he said that the meaning of قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا is كُنْهُ بِأَبِي مَرَّةٍ. That give him a kunya. When you speak to him, don't say, Oh Fir'aun, but give him a name which he likes. Give him a kunya, Abu Fulan, Ya Abu Fulan, this is the truth, and so on and so forth. Then Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he summarizes all of this. He says, وَالْحَاصِلُ مِنْ أَقْوَالِهِمْ. That the summary of all of their statements is أَنَّ دَعْوَتَهُمَا لَهُ تَكُونُ بِكَلَامٍ رَقِيقٍ. That their da'wah, the call of Musa and Harun to Fir'aun, should be بِكَلَامٍ رَقِيقٍ, with soft words, لَيِّنًا, gentle words, سَهْل and سَهْلٍ, easy words, رَفِيقٍ, kind words, لِيَكُونَ أَوْقَعْ فِي النُّفُوسِ. Because this is something which will have a place in the heart. When you say words which are soft and gentle and sweet, using appropriate titles, this has an effect in the heart. وَأَبْلَغْ, and it is more eloquent. Like Allah said, أُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Call to the way of your Lord with hikmah, with wisdom. وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, and with a good admonishment. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ, and debate with them, either Jews and the Christians, and discuss with them, بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ, in a way which is better and good. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَسَلَّمُ.